be in the house of the Lord with God's people, revival coming down from God out of heaven, unsaved people with us every night, Christians praying. We've had a beautiful 3 weeks, children. God bless your hearts. Some of my friends have, I used to before I preached my heart out and my voice too, I used to sing once in a while, and some of my friends have asked that I do that. Jerry's been doctoring me, and Brother Richard's been praying for me, and Steve's prayed for me, and a whole lot of you've been giving me candy and trying to help this allergy. God bless you. We thank you. I'm going to try to sing a verse song for you tonight. I'm not offering an excuse. I never like to see anyone try that. I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm just telling you the facts. I want you to pray. I need your prayer. What, sir? Buddy, that sounds good to me. Amen. 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 For many long years, Lord has been good to me. He always blessed me when I needed to be. He sends me sunshine, drive away the rain, fills my heart with gladness, takes away my pain, makes me feel like a child of God on the way home. I can hear the trumpet sweep, oh, I can hear David playing on his harp of gold. And I know brand new morning awaits me. Makes me feel like a child of God on my way home. Oh, to think the God of heaven love someone like me, enough to send you Jesus down on Calvary, take away the sin had me bound so long, set my spirit free, but within my heart and soul, makes me feel like a child of God on my way home. Everybody help me on this one. I can hear the trumpet sweetly blowing. I can hear David playing on his harp of gold. And I know bright new morning awaits me, makes me feel like a child of God on my way home. Amen. God bless you, Steve. Bless your hearts. Now we'll be giving that number to Billy Dean, and he'll sing it for you right. Amen. Now the word of the Lord in the book of Luke's Gospel, the 15th verse. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I married a wife. Therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, won't you listen to this, unsaved? God's talking through Jesus, and Jesus is telling us how God feels after we have been pleaded with all these years. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to speak to you tonight. We spoke to you once before from this text or this reading, but I want to use a different text tonight. The 17th verse. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. I want us to think of this last part of this scripture. Come, for all things are now ready. One of the most beautiful truths in all of sacred writ is the fact that God never invites a person to do anything in the earth unless he has gone before and made the way possible for that person. Even before Jesus would call us brethren, he had to stand in death's door and pay the penalty of our sins, had to go all the way to hell to take the keys from the keeper of the tombs. Then he went back home to heaven, and the Bible said he sat down at the right hand of God, and then he sent his Holy Ghost, his blessed Spirit. He began to invite men to come to heaven. The Bible said that he was our forerunner. We often speak of John the Baptist, who went before Jesus preparing the way for him. It was written that he do that. But in Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Jesus was our forerunner. He ran the race before we had to tackle it. So you see, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, but in all things, he was tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. He went before us. Always God, always goes before his invitation to you. Notice these words that said, come, for all things are now ready. I've told many of you how that for 6 years I tried to save myself. I earnestly tried with all that was in my heart. I knelt at an altar in Atlanta, Georgia. I prayed in foxholes in Germany and in France. I did everything in the world. I washed my clothes more often. I took baths more often. I wanted to be saved, but I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure, and God showed me something real sure. There's nothing in this world that you can do to save your soul but accept Jesus Christ. The Bible says, by God's grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God Almighty. So many people say to me, Brother Osborne, I want to make sure. I think the reason that Jesus, Paul said the reason that Jesus saved him was that he could be a pattern to all that would hear in afterwards believe on Jesus Christ to eternal life. I've had the privilege in my 34 years of ministry of leading hundreds and thousands of young people to the blessed Lord. And I believe the reason God let me go through this 6 years of heartbreak and sorrow and failure and trial and defeat, God wanted me. Jeremiah said God called him from his mother's womb to preach his gospel. Paul said God called him from his mother's womb to preach his gospel. God knows the end from the beginning. He knew I didn't. And I'm so glad he led me in that path, because I can tell you tonight, there is nothing in this world, nothing. You could pray till Gabriel sounds the trumpet. You could quit every habit. You could never lift up your voice to curse or to swear. How you, beloved, could do penance every day of your life? Martin Luther used to walk up and down stairs of the monastery with glass cut and chopped up, penalizing himself, making penance, doing penance before God, trying in some way to satisfy an angry God. How many times we try to save ourselves, but we can't do it. The Bible said that God's holy law, which was just and good, holy in every respect, because it came from the mouth of a holy God. The Bible said that the law could never save a soul. How we want you to hear this tonight. How we want you to hear that the Ten Commandments of Moses could only tell you how, could only show you your need. But it took Jesus dying on the cross to save a fallen man. How many times we try to save our souls by the things that we do. I quit my habits. I dropped everything. I changed clothes more frequently, washed my body more meticulously. How many times in 6 years I tried to save myself, but God showed me something. There's nothing in the world you can do until God, by His grace, gives it to you. Yeah, me. Nothing in the world will save you but receiving what Jesus Christ has already done. Come, for all things are now ready. It didn't say part of them, brother. All things. How many times I tried, just like some of you tried, it won't work. You see, man is fallen. I came to church tonight with two of the finest young men that's ever graced this house. They were telling me words. My, what sermons they preached to me. Jerry, just converted and baptized last weekend. What beautiful testimony he had. Rocky, whom we all know, love, cherish, and revere. What beautiful experiences they were telling me about. How many things! They reminded me that not of works, lest any man should boast. Many people are trying to save themselves. You'll never do it in the world. Never in the world. Now, under the law, they offered sacrifices. They kept the ordinances of God. But by faith, they looked toward the antitype, Jesus Christ. Their trust, they knew the slaying of bullocks could never save them. Their consciences were never purified. They were looking for the seed God promised them in the Garden of Eden. They were looking for the seed that God made his covenant with Abraham and promised him that his seed would bless all the world. They looked for a lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. They only did God's law in observance of God's decree. Satisfying God's command, but could never, never eradicate the sin that loomed in their conscience. Never! For had they been saved, there would have been no need to have offered the sacrifice again next year. No more need for the priest to go into the most holy place. No more need of killing bullocks and slaying heifers. No more need. Their works could never satisfy a holy God. Until one day in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem all that were under the law. Have we, every one of you, have been under God's law of sin and death. Everything about the law, you're a sinner, you're going to die. But in the fullness of time, God gave us a Son under the law. For God's law was holy, just and good. And when Jesus came, he came to do what the law could never do. And just before he died, he said, Father, it's finished. What was he talking about? Paul tells us years later, he said, what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now we are delivered from this law that condemned us to die. Now we, having Christ's righteousness imputed to us, we live under the law of the Spirit of life. They lived under the law of sin and death, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. God Almighty gave them his lamb. And when he was offered on God's altar, the sacred cross, the Bible said it was a feast. A feast that you can partake of. I was invited down to one of the converts' houses this evening, Brother Jury, and he knows, for I've been to his daddy's house, and he fixed me two steaks. How welcome I felt in his house. He invited me, and when I got there, all things were ready. Sinner, man, listen to me. Yeah, me tonight. You'll pick up the Bible and read in Deuteronomy this, and then you'll read in Leviticus that, and then you'll read in another place another thing, and you'll read in another place another thing. God wants you to know that if you'll receive Jesus Christ, all things are now ready. Every word in Genesis, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, all the books of the Bible, every word of them is fulfilled.
Every demand of God is ready. And if you will let Jesus Christ come into your heart, all things are ready. Every demand that God has of a soul, you will find already prepared in Jesus Christ the Lord. All in the world you need to live in the world with angels. I was thinking a while ago, while the church group was singing for us, how beautiful the church having its own choir, its own people to sing the songs of Zion. How beautiful. All things ready. All things ready. Steve and I, the next revivals, we're not going to send out invitations and plan and prepare groups to sing. But we've had some here during our revival that couldn't sing a lick. They were living in sin and they hurt the kingdom of God and hindered the cause of the Holy Spirit. How we're going to let the Holy Ghost send the singers next time. How we're going to use those that the pastor knows and that I understand is walking in the fear of God Almighty. How beautiful for a church to have its own group. All things are now ready. God wants you to know that all things are now ready. All things are now ready. You say, preacher, what does that mean? When you give your heart to Jesus, He has already bought you. He bought your soul at the cross.
Amen.
He's already paid for your sins in His own body. He fulfilled the righteousness of God's holy law. Every need that God demanded, Jesus Christ supplied. And if you will let Him in your heart, from the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation, in Jesus Christ, all things are now ready. Every word in that book is now yours. Every commandment in this holy book is now fulfilled. How do you possess all things? You say, preacher, you mean if I let Jesus into my heart, regardless of where I read, then there's no more condemnation and that God's satisfied with me? My brother, when you come to Jesus Christ, and when you give Him your heart, every word in the Bible is fulfilled in you. Paul said in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Every word in the Bible, it doesn't matter where it is, all things are yours. All things are yours. You see, preacher, how can this be? You see, Jesus gave His blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus gave His blood to save Debbie, Steve, Linda, Ruth, Richard, Ann, Mary, Tom. There's blood for your cleansing. There's forgiveness for your sins. There's the fulfilling of God's every commandment in the Bible. Every word that God demands, He supplied in Jesus Christ. And if you will give Him your heart, when Jesus comes in, you see, the Bible said that God planned your foundation, your soul's salvation before the foundation of the world. When you let Jesus in, that means every need is supplied. Everything that God wanted for you is supplied in Him. Every ordinance is kept. Every law is fulfilled. And you stand before God, robed, listen to me, robed
in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
That means when you give your heart to Jesus, God cannot even see your sins. The Bible said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will remember thy sins no more. Why in the world would God say that? Jerry told me, he won't mind my telling you this, our young generation has gone wild. Jerry told me that he was a sinner. He had been out there in sin. And a lot of you old people, you don't know the sins of our youth today. Our world is getting worse all the time. But sin is reigned from Adam over all flesh. Our Jerry was telling me what a change has come over his life. He was showing me a picture of an old house that now is a beautiful, stately habitation for any proud wife or husband. And he was telling me that when God got through working him over, that he was now just like his house. Now it's a beautiful spectacle unto me. And how you can come to this feast tonight. You may come down this aisle as a whoremonger, a liar, a thief, or a fornicator. But if you give Jesus your heart, all things are now ready. He'll let you dive into that pool. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. You see, when you come to Jesus, God washes you in the blood of the Lamb. And when you're washed in that blood, the Bible said that God imputes to you the very life of Jesus Christ. That means that you can read from Genesis to Revelation, there'll be not one accusation against you. You remember when Paul was talking how that he under the law, when he would do that which he hated, and he hated that which he did, and he tried to do this and had no strength to do it. And Rocky and Jerry were telling me this evening, my, they know more about preaching than many of our preachers. How Paul was telling how weak he was. Some of you will try to reform, and every year, first day of the year, you're going to reform, and it don't last a week. Some of you will say, I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to be better tomorrow, and you're worse than ever. But you see, when you let Jesus come in, the very righteousness of God Almighty is imputed to you. God gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout.
Yeah.
God gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For the law of God is fulfilled in him. Every jot or tittle is fulfilled. Everything the law demanded is already taken care of. And the Bible said when Paul saw himself under this deep conviction, the commandment of God came. Sin revived, and Paul said, I died. Paul found himself a dead man walking around. God's commandment, which is holy, just, and good, will live as long as God lives. It's a commandment that condemns you as a criminal. You have violated God's law. In Adam, you died. My God! And when Paul found he was a guilty, hell-bent sinner, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How then, with Job, he screamed out and said, I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And then he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. No condemnation. That means, beloved, when God sees you in Christ, there's not one ounce of condemnation anywhere. That means you're just as free from sin as the brightest angel in heaven. You're washed in blood. The life of Jesus Christ was given for you. And when he washes you, he robes you in his own righteousness. He puts on your feet shoes, sandals, gospel of preparation. You're now prepared to go anywhere in the world and live a Christian life. If your husband should be a devil, you could still live a Christian life. If your wife should be a Jezebel, you can still live a Christian life. You can follow your baby to the tomb, and you're still shod by the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I can't bring it back, then I'll go where it is, whatever the situation in the world. If you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, you're all right, brother. Not only does he give you gospel shoes that you can walk through every circumstance in the world. How beautiful! You're girded about the loins with the girdle of truth. The Bible says when God saves you and you're born of the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of truth. Truth itself comes into you. And brother, God, who is truth, you remember Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When the Holy Ghost walks in, Jesus Christ comes in. And wherever Jesus Christ goes, the Father comes. He said, that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, you in me, and I in you. My God, and when you let Jesus in, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and you three are one. You say, preacher, you mean that the invitation is that welcome? Yes. Whosoever will, just let him come. I knew I was welcome when the invitation came from Jerry. But if it be from a friend, Jerry could have gotten killed. His wife could have had an automobile accident. The stove could have blown up and the stakes couldn't have got fixed. But brother, when God makes an invitation, you can count your very soul on it. You say, preacher, what in the world must I do? You can come with all your ragged, wretched sin. And if you give yourself to Jesus, God Almighty will put upon you the best robe, a robe of righteousness. And the Bible said it was a robe that outshines the sun. Even the sun in all of its glory, its transplendent, ecstatic glory, can't shine as brightly as the robe God Almighty gives you. That's why the change comes. You are clothed upon with Jesus Christ. Paul said, putting off the old man and the works of the flesh and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world is me? I mean, beloved, when you give your heart to God, all the righteousness, the holiness, the sanctification, the redemption, the glory, the virtue, and the very life of Jesus Christ is imputed to you. Oh, to be born again is the sweetest thing in the world. You say, preacher, how in the world to do it? Now, Peter tells us to save yourselves from this untoward generation. In the world will do it. I want that robe of righteousness. I want that ring of undying love. I want to be girdled about the loins with truth. I want to have on the gospel preparation, the gospel shoes of preparation. How in the world will do it? Peter said, by saving yourselves from this untoward generation. You say, preacher, I thought you told me for 6 years you tried to save yourself.
Yep.
I did. How in the world, preacher, will I save myself? Let me show you the beauty of that scripture. It's in the book of Acts, the apostles. Peter told them to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then the Bible said, as many as received his word, You see, the only way in the world you can save yourself is receiving what God has done for you. Receiving what Jesus did for you. You can pray until the trumpet sound. Until you receive Jesus, you'll never have His peace. You'll say, "Preacher, I want to make sure. I want to know I'm right." Brother, you can know you're right after you give your heart to Jesus. Listen to me. You're saved by receiving what Jesus did. Not what you do. It isn't your coming down the aisle. It isn't your falling at the altar. It isn't how long you pray. No! It's the goodness of God let you do all that. God went before you even came down. No man could come to Him except He go before them. It isn't what we do that saves us. It's receiving what Jesus did. Receiving what Jesus did. The Bible said, as many as received His word gladly. What in the world does it mean? His word was this. Me and them brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. What is repentance? It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. A godly sorrow. A sorrow that God Almighty Himself gives you is what turns you from sin to Him. It's God. We love Him because He first loved us. And when you receive His goodness, what in the world is His goodness? Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is, was, or ever shall be, God Almighty has given to you. And if you will receive that, if you will receive that, that's all the works you can do in this earth to save your soul. Oh, friend, don't let Satan steal you here. How many people will say, "I want to make sure"? Brother, if you can't take God's word for it, you'll never be sure. The Bible said, the word is nigh thee. You remember last night I told you, the word began being preached in the heavens, the firmaments, day unto day uttering speech, night unto night knowledge, conscience, law of nature, everything. Now Paul said that word was made flesh and dwelled among us, then went back home, sat down to receive you when you came to eat at God's welcome table. And Paul said, the word is nigh thee. Listen how close you are to being saved. Hear me, friend. It's not what you do that saves you. It's what Jesus did. Listen how close you are to being saved. The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God's raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Or whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call on Him in whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? What is the preacher preaching? Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus died according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried, how that He raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, by which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. My God, being saved is receiving what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did for you at the cross. He saved you at the cross. He bought your soul at the cross. He gave His life for you at the cross. On the cross He followed. He cried to the Father, saying, Father, it is finished. And Jesus bought you. Bought you. Body, soul, mind, and strength at the cross. And now His invitation comes out. Whosoever will, just let him come. And take the water of life freely. Oh, sinner, hear me tonight. It's what Jesus did that saved you. It's what you do about receiving him that saves you. Now remember that. As long as you live. I thought when I quit my cigarettes, that would get me closer to God. Then I thought when I washed my clothes more frequently, that would get me closer. Then I thought by going to the church altar, that would get me closer. I thought by praying in foxholes with bullets flying over my head, that would get me closer. I was trying every way in the world to satisfy an angry God. I was trying to get close to God. And one night when Willie Wilcox was preaching, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I went down the aisle, fell at the feet of Jesus. I tried to pray. I couldn't even pray. The longest prayer in the Bible for a lost man is, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I couldn't even pray. God was teaching me something there. I gave him my heart with all determination. When they asked me to testify, I said, "I thank God that I've received Jesus Christ." I wanted to shout like David then, but I couldn't. I wondered why. Why in the world? I walked over to the preacher and I said, "Brother Wilcox, what do I do now?" He said, with a big smile, he said, "Brother Osborne, if you've given Jesus your heart, you've already done it all." And I thought I ought to shout it then. You see, beloved, we're saved by grace through faith. And not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And I remember, as I testified, I thought the shout would come then, but it didn't. I really thought. I used to hear preachers preach something like this: "Pray until you hit the solid rock, and boy, the fire will fly." They made that up. That ain't the Bible. We're saved by what Jesus did at the cross. I testified to the church I had received him. The shout still didn't come. The pastor dismissed the service and everybody was going home. And I walked home. But as I was on my way to home, suddenly the stars began to get brighter. The heaven seemed to be singing to me. Everywhere I looked, the stars was my audience. The moon never looked so pretty before. My ugly face was clouded with tears. And my soul was experiencing something I had never known before. I felt clean for the first time in my life. I opened the door and my wife stood back aghast. And she said, "Adam, who have you been fighting with now?" "My Lord!" And for the first time since I married her, I went over and sat down at her feet, laid my head in her lap. For the first time, her husband knew what loving his wife was. You see, until you really give Jesus Christ your heart, you don't know what love really is. Because a lost man under the law of condemnation and death, he is condemned by holy God. And he lost his soul when Adam fell. He lost his mind. He lost his feelings. He lost his emotion. He lost everything that's good. And until we let Jesus come in and God's life recreate us, we don't even know what love really is. That's the secret of being a Christian. Many people stay out of the kingdom of God because they say, "Preacher, I want to make sure. Oh, God sent a man. Yeah, me tonight when Jesus comes in." You can, he'll bring the Father, he'll bring the Son, and he'll bring the Holy Ghost. And with these three in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Holy Ghost to help your infirmities when you don't know how to pray. And Jesus sitting at God's right hand, God Almighty upon the throne of grace. And your heart, the very citadel of heaven. God Almighty living in you. Preachers to preach for you. House of God for you to gather in. What in the world will keep you from going to heaven? My brother, listen to me. When you give your heart to Jesus, and when the Godhead comes in, and when you become a new creation, you don't want the things of the world no more. With Jesus in here, everything has changed. You're looking through new eyes. You're looking through a new heart. You're now crucified. Christ lives in you. Oh, sinner, hear me tonight. How many men, just like Jesus told us, They're afraid to make the start. Jerry told me that tonight. Bless his heart. Rocky told me the same. Denizen of damnation, it's a heaven of peace, forgiveness, joy. You see, preacher, are all things really that ready? Listen what happened when Jesus said he gave this invitation. He sent out his servants at supper time. Lost man, you better hurry. I was speaking to the pastor about some souls who have been in this revival, and he was telling me how that he prayed God they hadn't waited too long. Some people's funerals have been preached this last week. Oh, beloved, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't wait for another time. God's invitation is now. Jesus said at supper time, the invitation went out. Jesus Christ came once in the end of the world. He is our gospel feast. We feast on him. We live by his word. In him we live, move, and have our being. It was at supper time. And supper time was 2,000 years ago, said a man. I'm begging you tonight in the love of God, don't turn it down. The darkness may already be covering us. And you may not have another chance. Jesus said, work while it's day. When the night cometh, no man can work. He said, it's supper time. God sent out his servants. From the days Jesus sent Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and Apollos, and all those holy ones, how many of us have been telling you the table is spread? Supper time. 2,000 years ago, lost man, you better hurry. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Now is the accepted time. God wants you now. Jesus said when he went out and began asking these men to come, listen what they said. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that we've been come, for all things are now ready. Everything you'll ever need in this world, for your past, the blood of Christ wipes that clean. For your presence, God Almighty will let Jesus walk right into your heart. And for your tomorrow, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can possess God Almighty. You have the truth girded about your loins. You have on gospel shoes of preparation. You have a helmet of salvation. You a shield of faith. And you have God's sword of the Spirit in your hand. You have a church to pray for you, a pastor to feed you, deacons to serve you. And you have everything you'll ever need in the world. I couldn't eat all that Jerry and Robin offered me tonight. When you come to Jesus, you've got more than enough and plenty to spare. And the Bible said when he sent out his servant, that was God Almighty sending Jesus. Jesus sending his preachers, come, for all things are now ready. Now listen what they did, just like some of you are doing. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. If the devil can give you an excuse, he'll do that. He'll give you 1,000 excuses. And one of his worst ones is this. Make sure you can live it. With Christ in you, the hope of glory, the word of God in your hand, shod from your sandals to the crown of your head, with the great, glorious armor of God, God Almighty and the Holy Ghost within, Christ making intercession, God Almighty, your Father to answer your prayers, Mother Jerusalem loving you, the church sheltering you, preachers to feed you, deacons to serve you. Oh, beloved, there's no need that anybody in the world ever backslide an inch. Right. Now, Jesus said when he sent his servants out at supper time, here's what they did. They began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Some people have too much to do to get eternal life. Friend, let me tell you something. If you had all of this world, if you gathered and accumulated it all, you'd be a pauper without Jesus. This young man said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I wonder what the devil, what kind of an excuse he's giving you tonight. I wonder, you said, preacher, how in the world do you know my mind? You see, I lived there for 6 years. I couldn't save Adam's talk. I couldn't save myself till I fell at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, I've done all I can do. I'm not able to save myself. Lord, I'm in your hands. And when I turned it over to him, he gave all of heaven to me. And Jesus said, the servants went out to another young man, and he said, sir, I can't come. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. What man would buy oxen before he had proved them? You see, the devil would give you 1,000 excuses. If I went back and plucked every one of them out of your heart before you got down this aisle, you'd have 10,000 more in their place. You'll never find the right time. Some of you are waiting for the right time. God said, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off till tomorrow. And then he went to another young man and said, I married a wife and I just can't come to the feast. Oh my God. When a man's given the privilege to be the head of his house, to lead his wife to God, to lead his children to God, the highest honor in the earth. And this young man said, the devil gave him the excuse, I've married a wife and I want to live it up first. You'll never know what living is till you know Jesus. Regardless of what you do. So the Bible said that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. You see, when I report your case to Jesus tonight, my Lord is going to be angry. You see, I'm not even supposed to be preaching one word since 1967. Doctors told me, never raise your voice. Never raise your voice. Never stand in the pulpit no more. You see, they have sawn me asunder from here to there, from here to there. My legs have been ripped to pieces. It was told I died 18 times. And they told me, rent you an office downtown and let the people come. With your ability to preach, they'll be saved. Let them come to you. But Jesus said, go into all the world. If I had gone and rented that office in Tucson, Arizona, Jerry may have gone to hell. And all these other precious young people. And so when the preacher came back, the Bible said, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, bringing hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as you commanded. Listen to these last words. Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now that's where I'm at tonight, out in the hedges and the highways, compelling you to come in. Women are coming here too sick to almost stand on their feet to pray for you. I'm preaching, I'm not even supposed to be lifting my voice. I'm not even supposed to be driving car. And we love you so much. We're willing to suffer as our Christ did. And we're willing to be a living epistle known and read of all men. And we're willing to fill up that measure of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If he so loved me, he spilled his blood for me. Surely I can give a little sweat for you. Oh, the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and there's still room. Oh, listen what Jesus told the man, and then we'll close. Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Lost man, listen to me. Hear me. Jerry invited me to the feast. Jesus invited you to God's feast. Man shall not live but bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You'll never know what feasting is till you come into God's kingdom and eat of the bread of life that cometh down from heaven. You say, preacher, how in the world can I eat of this? This bread is so precious. I ate bread with Jerry and Robin, but that bread will perish. But Jesus said, he that eateth of the bread that I give him, he'll live forevermore. He'll never taste of death. My God! God wants you to come to a feast. The bread that you eat, you'll never die. Woo! You'll never die. That's a pretty good supper to me. And then he said, For your drink, you can drink into the Spirit of the living God. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body and are made to drink into one Spirit. That means you can drink as full as you want. I can drink this little cup full and I'll thirst again. But Jesus said, he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him, there'll be in him a well of everlasting water springing up into everlasting life. And he'll never thirst no more. Now Jesus said, when he sent his preachers out and they came back and said, Lord, we've done everything you told me, and yet there's room. He said, you go out in the highway's hedges, compel them to come in. And I say unto you, not one of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Man, I'm begging you, while there's time, before it's too late, don't play around with God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now's the accepted time. You see, preacher, how do I know he's calling me? Listen one last time. Paul said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preached. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father except the Father which sent me draw him. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And now God's drawing you by the preaching of the cross tonight. You say, preacher, how do I know? Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. You must first give him your heart. That's receiving his word. That's surrendering yourself to him. And when you give him your heart, confess him as Lord. With the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. And with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. After you have given him your heart, after you've confessed him as Lord, that you believe he died for your sins, he was buried to put your past behind him, he was raised to justify you from all things. And when you confess that, then God promised you, and not until, God promised you, then he will give you eternal life. And eternal life is in his Son. Jesus Christ comes in. You say, preacher, I want to be sure. Remember this. You can never be sure till you've received Christ Jesus the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible has God promised to bless you until you have confessed him as Lord. What do you mean, preacher? How can I confess him if I haven't felt him? Confess that you believe he died for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again from the dead. And when you confess him, then God will honor your faith by giving you his Spirit. Jesus will come in. Nowhere in the Bible are you told that you'll feel any better until you confess Jesus as Lord. The only feeling you'll have is condemnation. The law condemns you. You're found guilty. But when you let Jesus in by confessing him as Lord, believing his word, trusting in what he did, then the feeling will come. It'll never come until you in your heart believe him and in your soul confess him. It'll never come, the joy of heaven, till you've done what he told you to do. And that's surrender your heart to him. Trust him as your Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection. Trust that. Not what you do. Confess that to the world. Amen. He'll bless you. You say, oh, preacher, is everything ready for me tonight? God said, whosoever will, let him come. God says, come, let us reason together. From the lawyer behind the mahogany desk, the president of the United States, the highest astronaut above the heavenlies, to the lowest soul in the gutter. Have soul, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You can come tonight. Oh, beloved, let nothing keep you back. You say, preacher, but I want to be sure. How much sure can you get? The Bible said these things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We have more documented proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than we did that George Washington lived in Virginia. God's behind this book. And Jesus said, you'll know if any man will do his will, he shall know. But you see, you can't know Jesus till you've given him your heart, confessed him as Lord, and forsook the world and received him as Savior. You say, preacher, then it's free. Yes, it's free. All in the world he asked of you, the day you give me your heart. Just give him your heart. Linda was telling you about how he bought you at the cross. The heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool, and Solomon tried to build him a temple that cost billions of dollars. And God said, what house will you build me, saith the Lord? God wants to have his habitation in your precious heart. And if you will let him in, confess him as Lord, if God doesn't give you his spirit of peace and of joy, it may be tears, it may be a smile, it may be a shout like Debbie, maybe a testimony like Linda, maybe a song like Johnny. I don't know how you'll react, but the only feeling you'll ever have in the world is a feeling of condemnation until you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then when he comes in, God's blessed spirit of peace, joy, and goodness will be yours forevermore. The only way in the world that you'll receive God's peace is by surrendering your heart to Jesus, confessing him as your Lord, your hope, your tomorrow. The devil will give you 10,000 excuses, but none of them will do anything but damn your soul to all eternity. You say, preacher, what must I do? The best place in this world for you to find peace with God is right here in this church where God's people are praying. Paul said when God's church comes together and all prophesy in one mind, one accord, that the lost man sees that God's in us of a truth. And so falling down on his face, he will report that God's in you of a truth. There are people here that will weep and will cry and will love you till you surrender your heart to Christ. The best place in the world for you to make peace with God is right here on your knees with God's church around you. And when you surrender that heart, you can be saved coming down the aisle. But here's a place you can humble yourself in the dust and say, God, you're all and I'm nothing. Lord, I'm lost. I can't save myself, so I'm coming to you. Here's where you can repent and lay your soul out before his feet. If you'll do that tonight, you can go home rejoicing that Jesus Christ has made you whole. But if you make excuses, he said, you tell them, not one of them will taste of the supper that I've prepared for them. You see, God has not obligated himself to call you but once. And he's calling you by his word. The word's nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. So close, Jesus said, he's even standing at the door of your heart knocking. What in the world are you waiting for? He said, you'll know if you'll do his will. And his will is to give him your heart, confess him as Lord, trusting him in that heart, and then he'll give you his spirit. Will you do that tonight while the singers come? Will you do that tonight? Now, Satan will do everything in the world to keep you back, just like he's done all these 3 weeks. Satan fights when you're preaching about the blood of the cross or the faith of God. He hits harder than any other time. I wonder who's going to accept him as Lord tonight on his invitation. Just give him your heart. Confess him as Lord.
and then receive His peace, His forgiveness. All the invitation is come, whosoever will. All things are ready. All things. All in the world you need to do is just receive it. You receive that by giving Him your heart.
Would you do that right now while we sing? God bless you. Don't turn it away. Don't turn Him away tonight.
Let me walk right now. Oh, I know God. Don't wait another opportunity.
Right now, tonight.
Will you come tonight? Will you say yes, Lord? I'm on my way home. I'm ready to celebrate. Make Him my home for everyone.
Whosoever will. Oh, you should already have been down here. Why don't you come? This is heaven bidding you. This is heaven bidding you. Won't you come right now? Now, Johnny, before you sing another verse, I want you to notice how solemn, how silent, how quiet it is tonight. Now, Satan would like to confuse you and say the spirit isn't up and I'm going to wait for another emotional time. Sometimes God Almighty speaks, as the preacher told you tonight, in a still, small voice. God wanted you to hear these words. Salvation is a gift that you receive.